Have you ever known anyone who said, I am debt-free? When someone says they are debt-free, they are normally telling us they do not have a house payment. They're typically trying to tell us they do not have a vehicle payment. Maybe they did in the past, but that's gone. They are not paying on credit card debt. They're not paying on some kind of loan. They are out of debt. If debt is viewed in only material terms, that is dollars and cents, it is certainly possible to be debt-free. The Bible, though, says that there is a different type of debt, and it's a debt that we need help with. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, when Jesus gave the so-called model prayer, he said in this part, and forgive us our debts, there's our word, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Multiple translations, the ASV, King James, New King James, New American Standard, and I do not believe this is an exhaustive list, but each of these versions uses the word debt or debts in Matthew 6:12. Now, maybe if you think about that prayer, you have heard, and maybe you've been in a place where people were reciting that prayer, and you heard people say, forgive us our trespasses. Now, it is not impossible to find the word trespasses in some English translations. But if you're going to find that word in an English translation, I'll tell you this, you're going to have to probably look a lot. One Bible that has it is the New Matthew Bible. Now, if you've never heard of the New Matthew Bible, that tells you just how difficult it might be to find the word trespasses in Matthew 6 and verse 12. When you look at the word trespasses, you find that that actually came from an Anglican book of prayer. It's not in most standard translations. Sometimes people think the Bible says certain things where when you go back and you start looking at the scriptures, you do not find what people think is in the Bible. For instance, the Bible does not say, Old Testament or New, that Adam and Eve ate an apple. The Bible does not say that there were three wise men who showed up to see Jesus. God's word does not say this too shall pass. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's also not in scripture. Neither can we find that old statement, God works in mysterious ways. So let's toss out the word trespasses for today's study, and let's use the word debt or sin. I'm going to focus on the word debt, typically in the plural. When you look at the word debt, the word that is translated debt or debts, it's also found elsewhere in the New Testament, but it's only found one other time. And that one other time is Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, where it is also expressing the idea of a debt. When you start looking at words, you find both English and Greek, you find that there are word families. For example, you might have a word, it's used as a noun, it's used as an adjective, it's used as an adverb, it's used in different ways, but it's basically the same word. Well, the original New Testament is set up in that way. And the word which is translated debts in Matthew 6:12 and debts in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, it is used sometimes as a verb in the New Testament. And that verb is used in Luke chapter 11 and verse 4. And let's take a look at that. It's similar to Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. There's an old preacher story about two congregations. And these two congregations one day decided that they wanted to merge into one group. They got together, they had talks, they discussed things, and they found that there was one barrier, just one barrier, for them to come together and form a new group. This barrier, this difficulty, which seemed impossible to overcome, focused on a different point of emphasis in the Lord's Prayer. There was one group that was focused on forgive us of our trespasses. And the other group wanted everyone to concentrate on forgive us of our debts. The word trespasses, as we look at that word, it does not oftentimes bother a lot of people. But there is another word, and that is the word debt. That gets the attention of people, especially if someone owes the money. Jesus uses this word to say that sin creates a debt. It creates a big debt. And it is a debt that none of us can ever repay on our own. It is in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus calls our attention on a regular basis to the debt of sin. Back in 1978, and you may have heard of the FDCPA, the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act was passed. Now, prior to the passage of the FDCPA, there were some debtors who did some very bad things in trying to collect debts. There were debtors, as you go back and you look at prior to that time, there were debtors who were told by a collection agency, if you don't pay up, we're going to come to your place of employment, we are going to arrest you, and we are going to have your coworkers pick you out of a lineup. Now, if you hadn't been paying on a debt, how would you like to have that experience? Well, that shook some people up, even though it wasn't true. There were some other people who, after they didn't pay their debts, the collection agency got a hold of them and said, your children are going to be removed from your care. Well, that was a lie. That was false. They didn't have the power to do that. There were some other debt collectors. They went to hospitals, and they harassed the hospital patient while he or she was in the bed trying to collect on a bad debt. And then, this was really over the top, there were collectors who, after a funeral for a loved one had taken place, they would go and say, your loved one is going to be dug up, and some really bad things are going to happen if you don't pay the debt for the funeral. If we look at the word debt in terms of dollars and cents, we have a really good understanding of what it means. We find that when we look at collection agencies, they have done some very interesting and sometimes some evil things to get their money back. Unpaid debt for people today sometimes means having a cell phone shut off. It might mean having a car repossessed. They lose their vehicle. Or in more extreme cases, there might be a person who is behind as far as the rent and they are evicted. Or they may not have been able to make their house payment and they actually lose their house. In the secular realm, most people can comprehend the value and the need to pay their debts. God, though, says that there is an even bigger debt that we amass or accumulate in the spiritual realm. But sometimes people who are so good as far as paying their bills, paying their debts, they do not understand this debt, or they do not have any interest in seeing it paid. In the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, Jesus said, I want you to think about debts. And he's not talking about dollars and cents. Jesus said, I want you, and again, we would emphasize on a regular basis, if you are a Christian, I want you to pray about your debts. Instead of a financial debt going over the cliff, as we see in the slide, we may go over the cliff. And we can go over the cliff because the debt of sin has not been paid for us. If you were to do some investigation as far as the debt collection industry, you would find that there are low dollar collections. I'm not quite sure exactly when that happens during the time of the year, but Girl Scouts will sometimes sell cookies. And the cookies are not that expensive. I mean, probably about $5 a box, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. And there have been people who have written hot checks, non-sufficient funds, to Girl Scout troops. Well, the Girl Scouts don't want to be out there collecting bad checks, so Girl Scouts will sometimes turn those bounce checks over to collection agencies, and they are low-dollar collections. Maybe you've had a library fine, and the library had someone, a third party, send out a note to you and say you are needing to pay a quarter or a dime or a dollar or $5 for this book that's overdue. That is a low-dollar collection. There have also been, I know it's less popular now, some video stores have closed up. But when video rental was a popular thing, there were some people who didn't return a video, or they kept it a little too long, and they used collection agencies. Well, there have been, maybe not a bunch of them, but there have been some very, very sneaky people in America when it comes to collection agencies. These, and I'm going to refer to them as sharks because that's about the best description of them. These sharks have made their living. They have made big bucks for a number of years by suing collection agencies. They have turned the table. These sharks, and articles have been written about them, these sharks will create a debt. Let's say it's a debt for $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. It's not $500,000. It's just enough to get the collection agency interested in them, and they will not pay their debt. They could pay the debt. They're in a position to easily pay the debt, but they don't pay the debt because they want the collection agency to come after them. And they know that the agency will come after them, and as soon as the agency starts contacting them, these people are very familiar with the FDCPA, and they're waiting for a violation. They're looking for a violation. They want to find some way, some offense on the part of the collection agency. It might be that, you know, if you can call up to 9 o'clock, the person calls at 9:01. We've got you. Or it might be they can't come see at your place of employment, and the agency does. We've got you. And then these people will turn around and they will sue the collection agency for boatloads of money. There are people who actually make their living in this way. They have figured out how to take, for example, a $100 debt and turn that into a very successful and very profitable lawsuit. Notice what Jesus said about the debt of sin, Matthew 5:26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out until you have paid how much? The last farthing. That is every single cent. Jesus says the debt of sin, it's not going to be forgotten. This debt of sin, it is not going to somehow be negotiated down. It's not going to be negotiated away. Sometimes collection agencies are willing to negotiate. IRS will sometimes do that as well. If you are a debtor and you owe $1,000 or $5,000, the collection agency might say, all right, we understand that you're going through difficult times. We know that you can't pay the $5,000 or the $1,000. So if you pay $500, if you pay $250, it's a fraction of what the debt is. We will clear the debt. When it comes to the debt of sin, God does not negotiate. Now, there might be some who I think, and there's probably a lot of people in this category, they look at sin and they think of that as a low-dollar collection. Oh, the library is not that interested in the dollar fine. The video company, they're not interested in getting their $7.95 back. And the other low-dollar collections, the Girl Scouts, sure, they lost a box of cookies, but it's not really enough to worry about. Jesus says that is not true. When it comes to God and the debt of sin, every single penny, if you were to put the spiritual debt of sin into physical terms, Jesus says every single cent must be paid. Now suppose, taking this illustration a little further, suppose we had $1 million debt. For most people, I think they would say that is a sizable debt. And that $1 million debt were reduced and reduced and reduced by us. We paid and paid and paid. And finally, we get down to the point where on that $1 million debt, we owe just $1. That's all we owe. Now, we might be thinking, surely if we owed just $1, we have paid off everything concerning that debt except one single dollar. We've brought it down that far, that low, and surely the debtor, us, could be forgiven of that dollar. Surely the person who got back all that money, perhaps even with interest, he's not going to care about the dollar. Well, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But Jesus says that's not the way it works with God. Well, let's belabor the point a little bit more. And let's say that we have paid off almost everything concerning $1 million debt except a quarter. There is, when we wrote the check, there was a little interest, and there is now a 25-cent balance on the account. If we have paid off that $1 million debt except for 25 pennies, surely the creditor is not going to ask. I mean, a stamp would cost more than that, wouldn't it? Surely the creditor is not going to ask about the quarter. Jesus says God does. When it comes to sin. Well, let's go a little further. Let's say it's not a quarter, but let's say it is one penny. Now, you imagine if this were a news story in the world. CNN, Fox, take your pick as far as the news service, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, whoever it is, they get this report that there is someone who owed $1 million and now they got the debt down to a single penny. And the person who received virtually the entire amount back, maybe with interest, maybe he got more. He is demanding that that last penny be paid. Can you imagine the reaction of people in the world? I can. They would light up the airways. Can you imagine that idiot? He got all of his money back. And now that old skinflint, he wants that last single penny. They would rip him stem to stern. In the spiritual realm, we're dealing with something far different than money. And if we were to take money and somehow equate it with sin, God says he's going to require a full payment. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, how many pieces of fruit did they need to take? One. How many bites did they need to take? One. We do not need thousands. We do not need hundreds. We do not need dozens of sins to fracture and destroy our relationship with God. We just need one. Maybe it's small. Maybe it's tiny to us. Like that low dollar collection, God says it does not matter. When we become accountable for our actions and we sin, we experience spiritual death. We also create a debt which cannot be fixed or paid by anything we think, say, or do. There was a reason, a good reason, why Jesus talked about debts or sins when he gave the model prayer. Matthew chapter 18. Verses 23 through 27, Jesus here provides an illustration for what he taught in that model prayer. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He compares the kingdom of heaven to a king. And this king one day decided that he was going to settle up accounts with the servants. So there is one servant that comes before him and a reckoning takes place. And this servant owes the king 10,000 talents, but he didn't have the ability to pay. Well, before we go a little further, let's make a couple of additional points here. Servants in the first century were people who were not living lives of luxury. If you were a servant in the first century, if you were a slave, you were probably going to be fairly poor. And here we have a servant, here we have a slave who has a debt. And this slave is reminded by the king of how much he owes. Now, you might be looking ahead a little bit, and you see that figure at the bottom, and if you're thinking, that looks like $60 million, pat yourself on the back, because that is the amount that we have down there at the bottom. I didn't put a dollar sign there because we're not talking about, as far as this debt, $60 million. No, we're talking about days of work. If you go to lunch today and you have to wait for a little while, do some math. Figure out how long it would take you to work 60 million days. And if you can figure out that, probably going to take a little while, then you will have some idea, and imagine being paid for all those days, you'll have some idea as far as the debt. This man had accumulated millions and millions of dollars, if you want the short version. Well, under the best possible circumstances, this slave could never repay that debt. Couldn't repay this debt in 100 lifetimes. Now, earlier I said that collection agencies sometimes settle for less than the amount of the actual debt. They might negotiate it down. That is not what we find here. This man was going to lose everything. Look at what we have in green. His Lord commanded him to be sold. He's already a slave. Where I'm going to sell you. And I'm going to sell your wife. And I'm going to sell your kids. And I'm going to sell everything that you have, every single possession. Now, I'm not going to get my money back, but I'm going to clean you out, lock, stock, and barrel. And you're going to suffer. You're going to pay because you're welching. You're not paying up on a debt. You are a bad debtor. Now, debt collectors, if you go back and you do some looking, they have received some of the most innovative excuses for not paying debts. I want to share about four with you. Mom took my money and gambled it away. That's what one debt collector heard. A cat bit me and tore the ligaments in my arm. Now, I'm not quite sure how that affected his ability to pay, but that was his excuse. I was coming to pay you, but was in an accident and my thumb was amputated. That's creative. I didn't pay my bills in December because I wanted one more good Christmas. Well, the list just goes on and on. Debt collectors have heard some doozies as far as excuses, but this, what we have right here, this really takes the cake. I mean, this tops them all. This guy says, well, I'm not going to be set up on a payment plan. He says, I'm going to pay it all. Are you kidding me? There is no way you're ever going to do that. I mean, even if you're going to go out and steal money, there is just no way you can ever possibly pay this debt. So I'm going to pay it all. All you need to do is have some patience with me. Now, when you look at the absurdity of this claim, you look at some of the claims today, you have to say, by this standard, some of the claims today, they're not all that creative. But this is really out there. Now, if we had heard Jesus give this teaching initially, if we had never heard this story before, I suspect that most of us would be sitting on the seat. This is, as we sit on the edge of the seat, this is a debt collection story. And this is not only a debt collection story, this is an exciting story. How is this going to end? Is this man going to go to prison? Is this man going to be given extra work? Is this man perhaps going to forfeit his life because he has, become indebted to somebody who has that ability? Jesus gives an ending to this story, which must have shocked the people. It's an ending unlike anything we would ever devise. Look what we have there. 27. The Lord of that servant, he was moved with compassion. And what did he do? The Bible says he released him and he forgave him the debt. The 60 million days of work, the equivalent of that, the dollar amount of that, it was forgiven just like that. There was no bargaining, no negotiating. This slave was not told he would have to surrender, give up half of his property. He was not asked to take out his wallet, open it up, and give the Lord, the king, how much he had in his person. No, this Lord comes along and says, you are forgiven. Right now, 100%. Debt is cleaned up. You do not owe me a single thing, not a single red cent. Now, we started with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Let's go back there. And forgive us our debts. And then tonight we'll look at the latter half of that. Jesus gives this model prayer and he says, when you pray to God, pray for the forgiveness of your debts. That is precisely what we find in Matthew chapter 18. If we will live as God describes, if we will be the kind of Christian that God describes, God says, you come to me, you seek forgiveness for your debts, for your sins, those trespasses in the Anglican Book of Prayer, and God says, there's not going to be any haggling. There's not going to be, let me think about this for a little while, and maybe I'll forgive you, maybe not. Maybe I'll forgive you 75, 95%, none of that. There will not be like today, let me call the supervisor over and let's see what we can work out. There is not any kind of payment plan. God says all of our sins are gone. They are pushed off the cliff and they don't come back. One of the greatest blessings in life is being a Christian. And part of that blessing, as far as being a Christian, means the forgiveness of sins. Now, a lot of people are confused, perhaps, about how that works, why God would do that. And the answer is, you got to be a Christian. It is one of the spiritual blessings, one of the great spiritual blessings that God has for his people. If we are a committed child of God, we are told, we might even go so far as to say we are commanded to pray for the forgiveness of our sins, and Jesus says the debt is going to be paid every single time, just like we find in Matthew chapter 18. Whether we have one sin, 10 sins, 1,000 sins, 10,000 sins, whatever the amount happens to be, Jesus says, I am standing here, I have paid the price, and I am ready to wipe them all away. There is no reason. There is no reason for anyone to ever reject God's offer to purge us from every single sin. Sufficient power is there for every single person. We may or may not be able to fix the monetary problems that people have in life as far as material debts, but we do have the resources given to us through God's word to deal with sin that can be absolved by and only by Jesus Christ. Are you someone who has allowed Christ to remove your sins? You've believed in him, and that's good, but it's not enough. You said, well, I want to live for God. That's repentance, but that's not enough. Maybe you're someone who has confessed Christ. That's even better, but it's not enough. If you want those sins forgiven, they've got to be washed away. And we read about the washing away of sins in Acts 22 and verse 16. There was a man who had some very bad sins. He was not a Christian. He was told, why do you wait? What's causing you to delay? Get up. Be baptized. And wash away your sins. You call on his name by being baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And Christ will meet you there at the water, allow you to be joined to his spiritual body, and then to rise, as Paul says in Romans 6, 4, the newness of life. Every single sin is gone. And living that continued Christian life allows you to have that continued fellowship and forgiveness with and from God. Can we help you access that forgiveness? Do you in your life, maybe struggling with some things right now, has God really forgiven me? Will God forgive me? Will God forgive me? Read Matthew chapter 18. See the debt. 60 million days of work. Paid for instantly. Paid for fully. And the process still works like that today. Can we help you with the forgiveness of sins as we stand and sing?